all the house building you did, then you were in a position to bring technology jobs to your district, and the houses were there. You were able to bring those jobs because of those homes. Is that true?
Well, in certain areas, I was able to say, you come and we'll build houses for you. I even had the gall to do that for Weyerhaeuser. They bought out Dirks in 1970, and that's when I was in the economic development. And I said, if you'll come to Ida Bell, Oklahoma, I'll help you get homes. I didn't know that Weyerhaeuser had a bigger home building program than I had. So I was up against some tough competition, but I did. I went down there, and the first 12 homes I think I built were for Weyerhaeuser people. But the need of a home, see, the basic thing of a home we didn't have.
But you became Mr. Technology Transfer. What does that mean?
That was where I wanted to get not just research, the billions of dollars that we were shelving. I wanted us to find the nuggets of that research and find out what kind of businesses or industries could be started, and trying to get technology transfer up on the level of research. Research was the sexy thing that most people were for. I was trying to get the technology transfer out of that research to be applied, because everything you see at one time was an idea. Mm-hmm. Even you and me, if we believe in a creator, we are an idea. That little plastic bottle, my watch, everything was an idea.
Yep.
I went back and put together a new product and processes fair. I'd go into schools and I'd talk to them about problems. You know, the old statement is, if there's a problem, there's an opportunity. Well, if there's a technology problem, there's a technology opportunity. And the only way you can solve that technology problem is with a new product or a new process. Everything, chairs, everything was one time just an idea, a new product. But a new product and process means a new business. And a new business means jobs. That's how far I went back to trying to change a culture. I want these young people to not look at the problems they had and not, woe is on me, I've got a problem. I wanted them saying, hey, what's the answer to that problem? So I started this new product fair. Every year I had with the career techs down that area. I'd fly in from Washington, D.C., and I'd go wherever it's happening, down to Ida Bell or Broken Bow, Toca, wherever it might be that year. Just like you and I are talking here, I'd say to that young man or that young lady, tell me about your product, your creation. I would look in their eyes, just like I'm sitting here, and I'd see a twinkle come in their eye. Them telling me about what they had created, that self-esteem that was coming out. They were proud of what they had created. And as a result, getting things repeated back to me for what I'd been talking to them about, they'd taken a different attitude, a lot of them more optimistic about doing something with their life and trying to get them to build opportunities. We needed to do that entire statewide. And that's why I left the Congress and I ran for governor of Oklahoma. I would have implemented that.
But you decided not to run for the U.S. Senate when Henry Bellman retired.
That's correct.
And Don Nichols became the senator. He was 30 years old. Why did you not run for that Senate seat?
Because I was on appropriations, and I was utilizing that to the benefit of 3rd District of Oklahoma.
You brought a lot of money back to that district, didn't you?
Well, yeah, I did. Needs were here. A lot of needs, basic needs. For instance, this building right here is the Center of International Trade and Development. Why did I do that? I put together everything I could, putting the economic infrastructure together, the financing, the technology, the incubators. I was the founder of the Business Industrial Incubators, place to house industry that started that idea or a contract or whatever. New product process is fair. I wanted them to look at the problems and come out with the ideas. They say only about 2 or 3% of the ideas will ever be commercialized, but that'd be more than what we had.
Mm-hmm.
I felt changing that attitude probably was the greatest benefit of all. Now, the CITD, I said, what else can I do? And I found that for every $1 billion of exports, you create 15,000 to 20,000 new jobs. That's economic development.
Yeah.
Now, I found also in a survey back in the 80s that we were only doing about $3 billion of exporting. But also I found that 56% of our businesses or industries would like to do exporting. Why weren't they? I can tell you why. They didn't know how. They were intimidated by language, by currencies, by insurance, by transportation, all those things. So just like you and me, if it's something I don't know, I put it way over here. I'll get to that one of these days, maybe. That's what I'm trying to do right here, right now, is change our culture attitude. I gave the commencement address at OSU in 1987. It's called International Trade, Opportunity or Destruction, Which Way America? In the late 70s, when I went to Congress in 77, we had a trade surplus. 1980, when I was working on the Reagan budget, I found we had a $50 billion trade deficit, mainly with Japan, an ally. Wasn't too scary probably at that time. The time I gave that commencement address in 87, 30 years ago, is up to about $170 billion annually. President Donald Trump last night said we had an $800 billion trade deficit. I asked Greenspan, head of Feds back there in the 80s, what did that mean, this debt? He said, don't know. It's significant, all right.
Explain that term, trade deficit.
We import more than we export goods and services. So we have $800 billion. In 2011, that was 30 years after I had approached President Boger here at OSU about building this facility, and we had over $500 billion.
In trade deficits.
Trade deficits. About half of it was the Middle East. We know the reason why, the oil we were importing. The other half was several areas, but the biggest chunk of it, over $300 billion, was with China. Why is that important? Well, it'd be like for me putting on your desk the Chinese and say, here's $300 billion. It's yours. Trade deficit. What are they doing with it? They're buying coal mines up in Australia, and those coal mines have bought up coal mines in Oklahoma, Arkansas, Kentucky. They bought one-third of the Eagle Shale in South Texas, right where we're sitting in the Mississippi Lime. Devon has sold them over $1 billion. Sandridge, also Chesapeake, they've got over $3 billion worth of play in the Mississippi Lime.
They've sold them what?
Rights to the Mississippi Lime. $3 billion worth of investment with them and their drilling here in the Mississippi Lime.
The Chinese?
Yes, the Chinese.
And why did the Chesapeake and Devon, and why would they sell that to them?
That helped them in their drilling, their production and all like that.
Right, but then they let the Chinese in.
Yeah.